Blog Talk Radio.
What is up, everyone? Hopefully everyone is doing well. Welcome to the Cave Show. This is TLR. Again, like I said, hopefully everyone is having a good day. Boy, do we got some stuff to get into today. We get to talk about Conor McGregor. Yeah, no, we're actually going to talk MMA. We have our former intern calling in about 10 minutes after the hour, Ryan Dorfman. He's the biggest Conor McGregor apologist ever, so definitely want his take on this. NBA playoffs are about to start. We have a full NBA playoff preview coming up this Thursday and Friday, so we're going to get into that. Some special guests for that as well, so we'll talk about that as well. NFL draft right around the corner. Who are you taking? Who do you want? Who do you want your favorite team to get? Mr. Stan in New York, he's fanning more than a real fan on a hot summer day. Is he just having trouble getting started, kickstarted? We'll talk about that too. So like I said, a lot of stuff to get into. We are brought to you, of course, by the one, the only, Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at Alma School in Chandler Heights. If you're local here in Chandler, Arizona, give them, let them know that PLR sent you. They will take care of you. They will take 10% off of any cigar purchase that you have. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Become a member. Get your locker. It backs up to a humidor. You never have to worry about your sticks going bad. You can sit there and smoke them, or you can take them home, which I suggest sitting there smoking and watching one of the many televisions. But no matter what, at the end of the day, your sticks stay fresh. That's Maduro Cigar and Tobacco. Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Alma School, Chandler Heights, Chandler, Arizona. Let them know that PLR sent you. They will take 10% off of any cigar purchase that you have. Call in number is 917-889-7828 if you'd like to join us about any topic that we're discussing today, or you want to bring up any new one. Always welcome to hear your voice. Again, this is the Cave Show. This is PLR. Do have a caller online who's patiently waiting for us. Always appreciate that. Always calling in on the Carrie Lackey Law Line. This is PLR. This is the Cave Show. And who do I have the privilege of speaking with?
Good afternoon, Paul. This is Lou.
Hey, it's my main man, Lou, from good old NYC, wearing his John Carlos Stanton jersey, I'm sure.
NJ, not NYC, but good enough.
Oh, that's right. That's right, New Jersey. I apologize.
I'm across the river.
Across the Hudson.
Yes. But since everybody thinks New Jersey is like a backdrop of New York, you know, that's what we're mostly known for.
Yes.
Well, anyway, right now, Stanton is not off to the start that we thought he was going to be at.
You know, I heard someone say something earlier, and I don't know how much credence to put into this, but he may have a point. What he said was Stanton always played in Florida. So when the season started, he was in Florida.
Yeah.
The weather was warm. He got ready warm. He played in warm weather to start, and he was good to go. But now he played in warm weather, got ready to start, and now he's up there and he's bundled up. And as it heats up, he'll heat up. Theory I heard a little bit earlier. What do you think of that?
Well, you know, it kind of just brings me to my point that should baseball hold off on the start of the regular season until a bit later? Because is it really ripe for the play in all this, frigid weather? You know, like in Chicago, New York, Minnesota, and everything like. you know, it really does affect the control of the ball for the players. I think maybe they should just cut the season a bit. And furthermore, I think with Stanton in new surroundings, it's kind of taking time to get used to all of it. I mean, I kind of had a feeling that, you know, with also Boone getting used to him being his manager, I was expecting a slow start to begin with. And, you know, when we get to, like, a month into the season, that, you know, things will turn around and will and they'll improve.
To quote an old movie, this is Much Ado About Nothing. He'll be fine. He'll be perfectly fine.
Yeah.
But you can't ignore it. But you can't ignore it. And you got to bring up, he has had the platinum sombrero twice this season already. So something that has to be talked about. But is it really a worry? No. He'll be hitting. Like I said, I think I like that theory. As the weather heats up, I think he'll heat up. As far as what you're talking about, the baseball season starting a little bit later, I agree with you on that, but you know and
I know
Lou, you and I both know this money. You cut games off. Everyone takes a haircut. Players don't want a haircut.
What's more important, though, money or player safety?
Money.
To them, maybe.
Money. Let's be honest. The NFL is trying to figure out every way possible to come up with ways where you should tackle the right way, but deep in their hearts, they still want 18 games. I mean, this is a league that charges you, you know, you buy a season ticket for the season, you have to take those two preseason games too.
Yeah.
So, you know, they know it doesn't take. Isn't it amazing 18-year-olds can go out there and play without a preseason, and they technically only have limited practice time, but the pros who have, you know, OTAs and this TA and mandatory this.
Well,
and
it's a different ballgame altogether when you get from college to pro.
Right, but I don't think you need four games. I think you can only really use two because a starter, a true starter in the NFL, maybe plays one preseason game total.
Right. Well, remember, at one time it was six.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, used to be.
Which is crazy.
But back in those days, they didn't make people take the they didn't make fans pay for all that extra stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, I mind you, this is pre-1978.
Yes. A lot has changed since then.
Yeah, me too.
We used to have artificial turf. I remember when we had artificial turf.
Ooh, that was a bad move. That's what causes most of the injuries, the artificial turf.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not lying.
No, that's the big problem right there.
And a little bit later, I'm bringing in one of our old interns, Ryan Dorfman, who's a MMA expert. Your thoughts on what went down with Conor McGregor.
First-class moron.
Lou, was it staged? Was it a stage event that went wrong?
I mean, his incident where he threw an item out the window of a bus. Oh my goodness! And there was other MMA fighters on the bus with him.
Was it a staged event that went wrong, or was it all Conor from the beginning?
It was all Conor from the beginning. I mean, he was upset about a vacant belt, and you know, the other fighters, you know, really were razzing him, and like, you know, he started a fight. I don't think this was planned by anybody. This was just, you know, due to his temper.
Yeah, interesting to see. Do you believe Dana White when he says he will never? Well, I shouldn't say he didn't say never, but when he said it'll be hard to get him another fight booked, do you think Dana White and UFC is done with Conor McGregor?
No, of course not. It's the biggest star they have. If they lose that, what do they got? Nothing. So I don't buy that at all.
No, I'm with you on that one. With you on that one, big time.
He might have done this for publicity, too, though. I mean, you know, I wouldn't pass anything past MMA to make it look more attractive. So he might have caused this just to get more attention.
We shall see, right?
Yeah, and Mayweather said the only way he'll fight again is to go into the MMA ring. Now, he's not saying he may fight McGregor again, but he would like to.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see that too. 40-some-year-old dude.
You're too old.
Doing MMA for the first time with a guy that's an MMA legend. Yeah, I don't
I'll
see that happening.
Oh, wait, no, I'm too old.
Yeah, we'll
I mean,
find out.
I'm even older than Mayweather.
Yeah, I'm not stepping in a ring or an octagon or anything. Just not happening.
I got an idea. How about alligator wrestling? Oh, boy.
As long as you don't say mud, we're good.
Right. Okay. Well, maybe that's a bad example. And Tiger, well, I know he gave his best, but you know what? I think a lot of people, especially in the media, were expecting way too much of him this time.
Tiger made a whole bunch of...
Yeah.
Yeah, well, no. I didn't think for a second he was going to win, but I tell you what he did do. By playing into the weekend, he made a lot of advertisers very happy.
Right.
And that's really honestly for it's funny because a lot of golfers hated him, but he's good for their bottom line. So Tiger
right.
put eyes on a lot of people that eyes probably wouldn't have been on. We have a young man winning a tournament who probably got more eyes on him just because Tiger played this weekend. So he is good for golf. He's good for the bottom line of golf. And
he's going to break for a while from the golf course.
Yeah, you know what? There's no way he's going to just step in on the golf course and just be old Tiger. So if he just think about this over the next few years, next five
mm-hmm.
6 years, if he finds one major a year, he catches Jack and passes Jack. And
he's
if he can
win,
do that, what'd you say?
He's got to win them first.
Well, that's what I said. If he just does one a year for the next 4 or 5 years, then all this is good. But well, my friend, I got a guest on the line waiting. I'm going to get to him. I appreciate it. I will talk to you hopefully tomorrow.
Okay, I'm glad you're back.
All right, buddy. Thank you. Good to be back.
Thank you, Paul.
All right, buddy. Talk to you later. That's our good friend, Lou. Gives a call. Always look forward to hearing from him. Now on the Carrie Lackey law line, I can't call him intern Ryan anymore because we have another intern. But this guy is the biggest Conor McGregor apologist I've ever met in my life. He was, I've talked to him on several times. I don't think if Conor McGregor played a game of Go Fish, he would favor him to win. So when I tell you Ryan Dorfman is a Conor McGregor apologist, I am not lying to you. So it is good to have him back on air. He is an MMA expert. The guy knows this stuff better than anybody I know, and it's a pleasure to have him back on, especially after such a long absence on the Carrie Lackey Law Line, the one, the only, Ryan Dorfman. Ryan, what's up, buddy?
What's up, Paul? It has been a long time, man.
How are you, my man? You good?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Just finishing school, so it's been tough, but doing well.
Okay, so I've got to ask you. I just got to jump right into it. Now, I believe, and you heard our caller before. Probably, I'm not sure if he did, but he thinks none of it was staged. I think this was a staged event that went bad. And I'm not saying that, you know, anyone should get hurt, but I think you take an event that's staged, words get a little bit heated, it goes a little too far. Conor McGregor's real quick to go from 0 to 100, and that's what happened. But after listening to Dana White, I don't buy for 1 minute that this wasn't staged at all. Your thoughts?
I wasn't there, obviously. So I could see, like, I could see it possibly being that, you know, what you just described, possibly, you know, maybe it was supposed to be staged and it went too far. But from what I've heard, I mean, not from Dana, but, I mean, even from the fighters themselves that were on that bus, and from all the videos I've seen, you know, on Embedded, that, you know, the fighters took themselves, You know, my gut says that it really wasn't staged, and that it was really just a retaliation for something that had happened earlier that week with one of his teammates.
Here's why, Ryan, and maybe you could talk me down from this, and I'm willing to be talked down from this, but Dana White was talking out of two sides of his ass, for lack of a better analogy. One, who wants to work with Conor McGregor after this? Who's going to book a fight with Conor McGregor after this? Dana, you got to fire Conor McGregor. Oh, well, you know, this is bigger than Conor McGregor. No, you're not going to fire Conor McGregor. No, you're not going to have nothing to do with him. No, he's going to fight again. No, he's the only personality you have left with Ronda Rousey gone, and he hasn't been in an octagon for a year. You sound like an idiot, Dana White, right now, because you're so non-committal. You had what I like to call, in NBA, they call it a fake tough guy. He had fake rage. There was no rage. For a guy to come on, destroy your pre-whatever you had going on, and then to cancel two or three fights because of what someone else did, he was a little bit too calm for me.
Oh, man, this is tough. Oh, God. Look, Dana is he's an interesting guy, and, you know, he says a lot of things that he definitely has gone back on. From what I saw, you know, look, here's what I think. I think that obviously he was upset about what happened. You know, that goes without saying. I mean, at the time, you know, the card, you know, was in the air, you know, losing a couple fights. You know, Michael Chiesa didn't fight, Ray Borg didn't fight, Anthony Pettis didn't fight, Paul Felder, Rose Namajunas almost didn't fight. So at that time, before he knew any of those, I mean, it makes sense that he would have been mad. You know, we didn't find out that until after UFC 223 that the card actually, you know, there weren't that many refunds and the card actually did really well even with those fights being removed. So, I mean, I do think he was upset with Conor for what he did, considering everything that was going on. They're trying to give him a new deal, yada, yada, yada. I mean, you think that like Dana was just putting on a show to kind of, you know, give the media, are you saying that Dana like is actually not angry with Conor? You think that he was just saying that
No.
So he looks like a human being?
I think Dana White is full of shit. I think that,
I think this was a
staged event. And it went too far. And because it went too far, he was upset that it went too far, but he couldn't be totally outraged because he was in on the staging of this. Let me ask you a question. Tell me the fights.
Conspiracy theory you got going on right now.
Let me ask you this. Well, tell me what fights did not take place.
The Lobov fight didn't take place because he was involved in the melee.
Okay.
Ray Borg didn't fight. Michael Chiesa didn't fight. Paul Felder didn't fight.
Okay. Now, I want you to take yourself away from this because you are an MMA guy. You know MMA. You follow it. You've written about it. You know MMA. You've talked on air on a radio show about MMA.
Yeah.
You know MMA. Now, I'm a casual fan. Do I know any of those people?
No.
A very casual fan. Do I know any one of those fights that did not take place?
I mean, no, not really.
No, not a one, right? But what out of all this that happened, who do I know? What out of all the things that took place, what's the one constant, what's the one name, what's the one personality I know that was there?
McGregor.
McGregor. Now, I'm a casual fan, and I'm like, this dude is an idiot. Man, I can't believe he did this. Someone really needs to teach him a lesson. Boy, I can't wait to what? What can't you wait for now?
I mean,
as a casual fan, no, seriously, what can't you wait for now as a casual fan about McGregor? You can't wait to see one teach him a lesson, but you can't wait to see him teach him a lesson doing what?
What do you think? You think it was a stage? I'm just trying to get your take here. That you think it was a stage?
I think the whole thing was a fake. So, but follow me with this. If you're a casual fan, you can't wait to see McGregor get his butt kicked. But you can't wait to see him get his butt kicked doing what?
Fighting,
right? Okay. So even if you're not an MMA fan, you casually saw this. Guess what you're gonna do the next time McGregor fights for sure? Guess what you're gonna go and purchase? That MMA event. And what did you sacrifice if you're Dana White? A card that didn't lose any money from people that the casual fan could care less about, but the real hardcore fan, they're going to go, we're going to go ahead and keep it because there's still a title fight. There's still some fighters that we know, and McGregor is such a tool, and I can't believe he did this. He's not bigger than this sport. Who does he think he is? So you're going to keep the card, and next time he fights, who are you going to root against? Conor McGregor, because you're going to buy that fight. So to me, all you did was bring in more casual fans by staging this thing that went, like I said, I'm not saying that they're on the fights being canceled, because I think you went too far, because I think a lot of times McGregor goes too far. But come on. Do you honestly think you take anything else, any other fight, if this is any other fighter, does Dana White say they're fired?
I mean, yeah, probably. I mean,
yeah, but he's not. He's not gonna kill his moneymaker. He's not gonna say that, especially when he's like, "Hey, I got this great idea to hype this fight up." I may be a conspiracy theorist on this. It'll probably never come out one way or the other. But you know what, Ryan? I don't buy this. Listen, this is where being from the west side of Chicago comes in handy. Do you ever see Beverly Hills Cop? Part two?
No, I've never seen that.
No. Dude, what the hell is wrong with you? You young guys are killing me. But there's a scene where Eddie Murphy says, "I used to be a Muslim, I could smell a pig a mile away, and this guy's a cop. You know what? I could smell horse shit a mile away, and Dana White is dealing it." Because he ridiculously talked out of both sides of his ass on this one. Online with us on the Kerry Lackey Law Line, the one and only Ryan Dorfman, the biggest Conor McGregor apologist. He's our last personality. Who's another guy in MMA that has screwed up a lot? Mr. Jones, right? And every time Dana White says, "I'm done with him." But every time Mr. Jones can get right for a little while, who puts him in the circle or who puts him in the octagon? Dana White, because he's your only other he's your personality moneymaker. Dude, he's not a fool. I'm not blaming him. What I'm saying, though, is he's full of crap.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Look, I think I'm going to be honest with you, man. I think you're making a big leap, and I can see the possibility of what you said happening. But Dana, number one, I mean, putting those other fighters, you know, in harm's way, doesn't add up. You know, at the time, also he didn't know that they were gonna that the card was gonna still do well. You know, casual fans.
Yes, he did,
what?
Ryan. A fan, an MMA fan, this was not a casual fight card fan anyway. If you were a casual fan, you really weren't buying this. When you look at
what?
All the MMA cards,
no way.
Casual.
I definitely
casual fan. When you look at this,
casual
fan.
Do you think the only fighter casual fans know is Conor McGregor? I mean, there were two title fights in this card. I mean, casual fans,
okay.
I definitely think this is a card for casual
fans. Were those fights canceled, Ryan?
One of them definitely was not canceled. The other one had two opponent switches, you know? Two opponents were ruled unable to fight. The second one,
but the name fight, the big fights that people would pay to see, the fighters,
the casual
pay to see.
Title fights.
You just told me not even 3 minutes ago that the casual fan wouldn't really have known any of those fights that were taken off the card.
Yes, the fights that were taken off the card, the casual fan probably wouldn't know. But he was worried that the casual fan who came for the Khabib fights and for the Rose fights would still be perturbed by the entire situation. I mean, You got to understand, okay, like, even taking those three fights out, I don't think he was worried about the casual fans leaving. I think he was worried about the hardcore fans, you know, not, you know, wanting to watch
Hardcore fans aren't going anywhere. That's like football. Football could strike tomorrow. Casual fans take a while to come back. Hardcore fans are going to watch football. They care less. They don't care. The whole kneeling in the NFL, casual fans may have been turned away from it, that, you know, according to Hannity and Limbaugh and the rest of the blowhards, but you stop watching football, Ryan. I don't know whether you agree or disagree, but did you stop watching football?
No, I'm not going to stop watching football.
No, you're not going to stop watching. They could kneel, they could jump, they could do whatever the hell they want. You're going to watch that game, though, aren't you? Did you care less?
I really don't think this was staged. I really don't. Like, this Conor McGregor is one of the most loyal. He's one of the most loyal people like I've ever seen. And, you know, I don't know him personally, but from everything I do know about him, which is a lot, that he's extremely loyal. I mean, the guy's halfway across the country in Ireland, hops on a plane with like 20 of his friends, and goes to defend his teammate. I mean, it's like, he put other guys. I don't think Dana would be in on something if Dana knew that there were guys that could have been hurt. Like, are you trying to say that, like, I mean.
No, listen to what I'm saying. I think the event was staged. I think it went too far. I'm not saying Dana knew.
This is not the WWE, though. It's not the WWE where this stuff happens. Conor didn't do this for Jose Aldo.
Okay. Listen to me again. I don't think Dana said, hey, Conor, we're going to WWE a dolly through the window. Hey, we're going to throw him off the top of the steel cage onto a bed of thumbtacks. I don't think he said that. That I'm not saying. Again, I think it's something that went too far. I think once he got there and the staging started happening, MMA fighters aren't punks. They're going to talk back. And I think things were said, and then it went too far. I don't buy that two guys had a security badge and they came in, then they opened the door and a whole bunch of people came. Hey, listen, you do that to my organization, I don't care if I know someone's been hurt or not. I'm outraged. I'm not saying they're all calm. Yeah, and two people opened the door and the rest came storming in. And Conor, I don't know if, you know, if Conor, that's way too calm. For a guy that I've seen get upset over some of the most mundane crap, he was that calm over that? Don't buy it, man. I don't buy it. I'm sorry. I'm wanting you to talk me out of it, but you haven't talked me out of it yet. I want you to talk me down. I want you to.
I don't know why you don't. But I mean, first of all, I definitely think that he's gotten upset about, you know, a lot of different things, and he hides it. Maybe he hides it well, but I definitely think he was upset about this. You know, I mean, Conor's facing criminal charges here. Like, you know, this is the UFC's biggest star that is facing criminal charges. He might be going to jail. You know, I mean, if I were him, I would try to be as calm as possible if I were him as well.
Let me ask a question. You think Conor McGregor is going to jail for this?
I think he could.
No, you think Conor McGregor is going to go to jail for this? I don't want to hear what he could do. Do you think, if you were betting money, if I said, Ryan, $100, is he going to serve a day in jail for this? Your answer is, for $100, yes or no?
I see both sides. I could see him doing it. I could see him going to jail, and I could see him not going to jail. Like, I think the judge is going to want to make an example of this guy. A lot can change in the next 3 months. I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, like, I don't know the law. I don't know how serious, like, misdemeanor assault is or criminal mischief. I don't understand.
Ryan,
you've
hosted this show. You've been on this show. You're on the fence. Get off the fence. $100. Judge puts him in jail for this. You know we don't live on the fence on the cave show.
My gut says no, but like I definitely
no.
think he could.
No. How many MMA fighters are going to press charges against him?
Like,
what? More than
two,
one.
I think
over under one.
Two. What? There's at least two, maybe possibly three, and I think there's one UFC company employee also pressing charges.
Okay, so you think Dana White is going to allow his fighters to press charges against his best moneymaker?
They already have pressed charges.
And you think at some point in time they're not going to retract or say,
they
nah,
could.
That's okay? Or
of course they could, but, like, I mean, these are guys, you got to understand, I mean, this is how they put food on the table and provide for their family. They couldn't fight. I mean, they're pissed as hell.
So
they're going to want – I think –
Dana White's not
going to
take
care
of these guys. Dana White's not going to flip them.
They were paid – I believe they were paid show money but not win money. I think they're going to be suing Conor for that money that they didn't get. So if that's the case, then, okay, Conor has to get a slap on the wrist. He pays them what they would have won if they had won the fights, and then that's it. And then – but, I mean, what are we, like – what have even – there's so many factors here that, like, it's insane. I mean, I don't even know what to think right now. It's just – I mean, the guy goes to court in June. Like, I mean, there's no way. I mean, I don't think it was staged. I really don't. He was pissed, man. He was really, really upset with Khabib.
You sound more upset than Dana White did.
Dana White said that he was on drugs. Dana White literally said it. I forget who it was with, but he had an interview with somebody, and he was saying that Conor got very upset with him because he had an interview with I think, Brett Okamoto, where he said, is this guy on drugs? And Conor got pissed. So Dana was clearly upset. I mean, to say that and know that could risk his relationship with Conor, I mean, I definitely think he was more upset than you're giving him credit for. I think he was pissed.
Hmm.
I mean,
we'll see.
Think about the week that this guy had, man. I mean, because he was supposed to fight Tony, and that didn't happen, and then Max was supposed to fight, and he didn't get cleared, and then this happens with Conor. Like, he had a really bad week, and then this happens. I think he was just exhausted. He hit it well, but obviously he doesn't want to show that he's panicking. That would be a terrible move. I think from a PR point, they did a really good job and making sure he was calm, and that's why I think, you know, I mean, that he was so calm. I applaud him for actually. I think it was great.
Ryan, what do you owe me, like 6-7 ICs by now? 8-9 ICs, something like that?
Yeah,
it's something ridiculous, like 24 ICs. I bet you one more icy, so we can add to it, or we can subtract from the 35 ICs that you owe me. I bet you that the Conor McGregor fight, the next fight he has, I don't care if it's today, I don't care if it's next month, I don't care if it's in October, I bet you he sets a record for how much he makes, for how much the MMA pays him for his next fight.
Well, I mean, I definitely think, well, first of all, I definitely think that this like increases his publicity and obviously the legend around him. I mean, more people obviously know about this guy now. But the thing is that this is going to veer people, you know, between two. It's going to either make people who already don't like him, it's going to make them hate him even more, or people who do love him, it could make them love him even more, or it just won't sway them at all if they do like him. But I mean, I can see. I think that it's gonna help him with publicity. But is he gonna fight again? I hope so. I think so. But this is just crazy. It was just insane.
See, you said everything with your heart, and since it's not my sport per se, I'm saying everything with bottom line. You just said it's going to make the people that don't know him, that hate him, that are going to hate him even more. It's going to make the people that love him even more. But what do they all have in common? They're all going to dig in their pocket. They're going to take their money out, and they're going to pay to watch him fight. And there's going to now be more people that are digging in their wallet that are going to pay to watch him fight.
Well, I think that anytime something like this happens, there's obviously going to be theories as to, okay, well, I think this happened based on – but none of us – I mean, there's no way to really know. I mean, from what I saw, it was not staged. He was extremely upset. He's in a lot of trouble. I mean, again, a lot of facts are going to come up now. I mean, it's just – it's a mess. It is a absolute mess. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
So instead of making $15 million, he's going to make $28 million. And Dana White already gave all the guys their pay for showing. So Conor will agree to slap them all down about maybe $800,000 each for their injuries and their possible winning monies that they didn't win, because we all know Dana White is cheap as hell, and he wouldn't come close to paying those guys anywhere between a quarter, you know, half a million and a quarter, half a million and a quarter million for winning that fight. That's probably, what, about a $90,000 bonus, $80,000 bonus. I'm sure Conor will cover that in a quote-unquote out-of-court settlement for their injuries for that fight. Wink, wink. And they will all take that money and all fight again and all be happy with more money than they would have got if they would have actually won the fight. I see. This is where I needed you. This is where I needed you to take the emotion out and talk me out of it. But you didn't talk me out of it, Ryan. I need you to talk me out of it.
Dana, you think that Dana is like, is just basically doing this because, you know, oh, it's Conor, and I'm gonna tell the media this because I don't want them to know that I had a part to play in this, and this was all a ploy to make more money for the UFC. I just think that's really far. I think that's far fetched. I mean, I don't see it. I don't see, because that's too WWE like, and I mean, I don't think that that's what happened here. I don't.
Where's his biggest second money maker? I saw a video. Saw a video more than once. And I think it's a state.
No,
let me ask you this.
More than one video, though. There was an edit.
You're over 21 now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Because if your mom is listening, I like your mom, so I don't want you to incriminate yourself.
He was telling them to smash the windows, man. He was trying to hurt people.
Hold on. Have you ever drank before?
Yeah.
Have you ever accidentally, wink, wink, drank too much and got inebriated?
You think he was drunk?
No. Follow the question. See, you're already defending it. That's why I say you're the biggest Conor McGregor at WWE MMA. But you're not following me. You're already thinking of the answer before I ask you the question. Have you ever accidentally drank too much and got inebriated?
Yeah.
Now, have you ever drank and said, I'm not going to get inebriated tonight, and then the next day you woke up and you're like, crap, man, I drank too much. That wasn't the plan.
Yeah.
Okay. So let me say this one more time. Conor, hey, listen, disrupt this, man. You can get some play, some media play, probably get a couple more eyes on this. Conor, damn, dude, you took this too far. That's not what we talked about. See, you're thinking that I'm saying Dana White was in on people getting hurt. I don't think Dana White was in on people getting hurt. Dana White was in on this whole thing with him picking up dollies, throwing it through windows, his crew crashing, fighting people. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is I think Dana White and Conor McGregor had this deal where they would disrupt, get some publicity, but Conor, being Conor, took it over the edge. And that's what I'm saying. Again, I'm not saying Dana White will want people to get hurt. I'm not saying Dana White will want to cancel card fights. I'm not saying that happened. I'm saying it's a staged event that went too far. Just like tonight, you thought you were going to have one sake bomber and go to bed and have a nice quiet night, and you had eight sake bombers and woke up
the
next day.
The problem for me is that the UFC isn't staged. That's the problem, is that it's not a WWE, and I think that
Hold on. Did I say the matches were staged? So it's not staged. So you don't...
No.
Hold on. Stop. You don't think... So is boxing staged?
No.
Okay. But Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather had a fight, right? And they went at each other in these pre-fight hype things. You don't think they said to each other, we really need to sell this up a little bit? Not saying, you say this, you say that, not scripted it, but we really need to get people involved in this. Let's get these pre-fights going. Let's really let our mouths go. You don't think they said that once?
I don't even think they needed to say that. I think that they're both...
It was inferred, right?
I mean, that's what?
But does that make it fake? Does that make it WWE? Because they know the more they talk, the more eyes they put on it, the more views they get, the more views they sell, the more money they make. See, you're making it seem like I'm saying this is a WWE scripted event. And again, I didn't say that. I didn't say the event that happened.
Okay, hold on. Let's say everything you're saying is true. Okay, let's say it was staged. You know, this and that. What's the point though? I mean, what are you trying to get at? Okay, so it's staged. Like,
Let's circle all the way back around. What is Conor McGregor now in the eyes of the casual fan? Who is he? Who is Conor?
In the eyes of the casual fan, he is now. I mean, he was a legend before. Now his legend is even bigger. That's what I would say.
Right,
I mean, he's even more
exactly. Which brings me back around to it, and then I'm going to ask you a question about another sport after this. Around to it. So now he's a bigger jerk than he ever was. And what do you want to see a jerk? What does the average person want to see happen to a jerk in the sport that they play? If it's football, they want to see him lose. If it's boxing, they want to see him get knocked out. If it's MMA, they want them to have a lesson, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yep. So guess what? You're going to have more people pay to watch him knocked out. Listen, I'm going to switch sports real quick before I go back, and this is the last point I'm going to make. Floyd Mayweather used to be known as Pretty Boy Floyd. He was a good guy. Floyd Mayweather. Pretty Boy Floyd. People like Pretty Boy Floyd.
There's no way to prove that this was all a money-making ploy to attract more people and get more money for Conor's next fight. There's no way to prove that happened. There's no way to prove that it didn't definitively happen.
Sometimes it doesn't take proof to see. Do you need all day to see sunshine if the sun's in the sky? No, I don't have to prove to you the sun came up. I can look out the window and see the sun.
I think you're making a big leap with this, and I mean, it just, I don't know. I think it's a big leap, man. I really do.
I'm lying with the sign of Kerry Lockie. I'm the Kerry Lockie Law Line, the one, the only Ryan Dorfman, and the biggest Conor McGregor and MMA apologist. You are a Miami guy. Do the Heat get out of the first round? I don't care who they play. They're going to be a 5-8 seed somewhere. Do they get out of the first round?
Do the Heat get out of the first round? I have bias with this.
And that's why I asked you. I didn't ask you about any other team. I'm asking you specifically about them.
I'll try to put this aside. Right now, I think they're like a 6th seed. I think they'd be playing Philadelphia right now. If it's me, Philadelphia would be an interesting matchup for me. But I don't know. I mean, I feel like Philly just has more weapons than Miami does. But I do think that I don't think they could beat Toronto, Boston without Kyrie. I mean, that's an interesting, Milwaukee might win that series. So maybe it'd be better for them to play Boston. I think Philadelphia might be a better basketball team than Boston right now. So I think if they played Boston and actually took a dip and got that 7th seed, they're tied with Milwaukee right now. They have the same record, then they could beat Boston. Who knows? I mean, they don't have Kyrie or Gordon Hayward. So
what you're saying is they would lose to Toronto, they would lose to Philadelphia, they would lose to Cleveland, but they could possibly beat Boston.
I think Boston's really vulnerable. I mean, that could come back to bite me, but they don't have Kyrie or Gordon Hayward. So, I mean, something's got to give. So, and if we're talking about Milwaukee beating Boston, Milwaukee's a 7th seed, Miami's a 6th seed, Miami's still got – they could beat Boston, and they possibly could beat Philadelphia, but I don't think they could beat Toronto or Cleveland.
All right. Should the Dolphins draft a quarterback?
100%, man. Ryan Tannehill's – I do not think he's the quarterback of the future for the Miami Dolphins. Here's the thing with this quarterback situation is that – what is there, like? There's, like, 5 of these guys that are, like, supposed to go in the first round. I mean, to be honest with you, I really feel like only one or two of them is going to be really good. One of them will be like an average guy, and I think at least two of them are going to be either below average or bust. So you got about a you know, 2 out of 5, about a 40% chance that you're going to hit on one of the good ones. Otherwise, I think you're going to get an average or blow. There's no way all 5 of them are going to be great. I mean, usually there's at least a couple or one or two that are bad. So someone's going to end up with a bad quarterback. So for me, I mean, for the Dolphins, like, I like Lamar Jackson a lot, and I like Baker Mayfield a lot. So I think at their spot, I think they might be able to get a guy like Lamar Jackson. I think they'd have to get up to go up for Mayfield, but for a guy like Lamar, I mean, he's sick, man. He's like the next Michael Vick. I think Lamar Jackson and Baker Mayfield would be the two guys that I would like the Dolphins to try to get.
Last question, Ryan. Ndamukong Suh, you glad he's gone?
I'm glad he's gone. He's a great player, but he comes at a big cost. And I think I'd rather spend that money elsewhere towards just whatever. I just would rather spend that money elsewhere. I think he's not getting any younger. He's definitely a distraction. He's a great player, but it's so much money. He requires so much money. So I'm not, like, glad that he's gone, but I'm okay with it because I know that it opens some other things up for us, for them.
How the hell have you not seen Beverly Hills Cop 1 or 2?
I don't know.
How is that possible?
I don't know.
I'm still calling you out on Twitter for that a little bit later today. Just so you know.
Yeah, I got you.
I'm putting you on blast. Today. Dude, man, don't be a stranger, buddy. I know that you're big time now and you finish your internship and you're on to these bigger and better things and you don't have time for us anymore, but don't be a stranger. And I still need to talk to someone about MMA, about, you know, especially when I get on these cliffs, and even though you didn't talk me out of it, I would have jumped, but you still didn't talk me out of it. I appreciate you trying.
Yeah, man. I don't know if you understand all the facts, like, of what happened, because you do realize that, like, his teammate was getting, like, threatening phone calls and messages from Khabib's team. I mean, it was pretty crazy, you know, what was going on.
Yeah,
I mean,
no.
Here's the last thing I'll say about this is that what that event showed me is that he's an extremely loyal human being. I think what he did, the way he did it was wrong, but his motive in doing it and the concept behind what he did, I stand behind. I stand behind him being a loyal person, a loyal friend, and at the end of the day, I think that he values, that he's willing to take a dip, he's willing to even go to jail, he's willing to do whatever it takes if it means that he's still a loyal friend. I think he values loyalty over money, over fighting, over anything else. I think he values his loyalty as a friend. And that is what I saw, and I respect that. I just think that the way he went about it was, I think it was the wrong way, because now, obviously, you know, he didn't really think about the fans, or, I mean, well, who cares about the fans, but he didn't really think about himself, you know, getting in trouble. You know, obviously he has a son. You know, what kind of example is that for his son? Because he's just going to assume that the son will just understand one day. I mean, but still, like, I guess he just doesn't care, and that's fine. So, you know, that's McGregor. That's what he does.
Ryan, what makes you such a good personality, what makes you such a good sports guy and such a good writer, is you do everything with a great amount of passion, and I definitely appreciate that, and I appreciate you bringing that to the show today and all the times that you've been on and all the times that you've guest hosted. So I appreciate it, my man.
Yeah, no problem, man. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Hey, make sure you tell your family I said hello, please.
Yeah, I will. I'll definitely let them know. I appreciate it.
All right, buddy. Talk to you soon.
All righty. Thanks, Paul. Bye-bye.
The one only Ryan Dorfman does everything with 100% passion. I'm not talked off, you guys. I'm not talked off the cliff. I've not been talked off. I thought Ryan could do it. I thought he could talk me off the cliff. He didn't talk me off the cliff. This whole week, I'm going to try to get someone to talk me off this cliff. I'm not buying it, of course, and on the Kerry Lackey law line. Like I said, a lot of NBA coming up. We touched on NFL. Obviously, we talked a lot of MMA. Diamondbacks off to a great start. We're going to get into the Diamondbacks a lot more as this week goes on. Your Cubbies, if you're a Chicago Cubs fan, snowed out. Everyone talks about the season moving up and changing. The season's not changing, man. People aren't canceling dates or canceling games. Not canceling games, that's money. No one's killing games. Listen, two things should happen in sports that aren't going to happen. Teams should be contracted because there's too many, dilute, too much talent, and there needs to be games cut off in just about every sport. Not happening. Give it up. Give it up. Music can only mean one thing. We've wrapped it up. Man, it was good to catch up with my man Ryan. Always good to talk to Lou. Everyone that called in, courtesy of the Kerry Lackey Law Line. Make sure you're following us on social media on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook fan page. At the Sports Cave. Cave is always with a K. You can get us on our website, thesportscave.com. Again, Cave is always with a K. And you can get me directly at PLR on Sports on Twitter. Ryan never once saw Belios Cop 1 or 2. Out of all the things he said, you know I got to give him all the time for that. Until tomorrow, this is PLR. This is the K-Show. Thank you for joining us today. Everyone, have a great rest of your Monday. Live it off the wall.